It's been my privilege, a real privilege, to have known Uncle Hans back in the 60s when I had the opportunity or the privilege of being his interpreter at his probably the Second Crusade, I don't remember correctly, in Taiwan. And even though I was with him only for 2 weeks, but the impact that he has left upon me has lasted to this day. What impressed me most was that here's a man who was walking with God, ministering in the Holy Ghost, constantly in fellowship with Jesus. And I saw a man, and I realized that it's possible for us to live in that way. And then before we were to move to the United States and received word that Uncle Hans had gone to be with the Lord, of course I was somewhat disappointed because I had been longing to see him again when we came to the United States and to visit his church, but then the Lord took him home. But anyway, I determined to come and visit his church. So shortly after we arrived in the United States, I went to New York. At the time, I was working for a newspaper in Taiwan. And I was on a business trip to New York. And so this was a welcome opportunity for me to go to Ridgewood. And there I met Brother Edmund. He took me around, showed me around, kindly invited me into his house to have dinner with him. And ever since, we developed a very precious friendship and relationship. And even though Uncle Hans was gone, but his nephew was here, and I found him to be like his uncle, the way we walked with God. And so I treasured the fellowship over the years, and when I had the chance to come to New York, and then I would always visit the Ridgewood Church and look him up, and I'm still grateful to this day that I have always been well received at Ridgewood, and then since then, and almost every year, we would come to Pilgrim Camp with a good number of our brothers and sisters from Maryland. Every year we would come up for the Labor Day weekend retreat. What I treasured most was here is another man who was walking with God, who is in constant fellowship with Jesus. I remember 1 year we had a group of people from Maryland. I don't remember what occasion, and Brother Edmund was going to speak at Williamsburg. So we all went along, and when I was asked to say a little something, and I got up and said, I said, well, we follow this man because he has Jesus, simply. We were following Jesus. And I'm so glad that we have had the privilege of being ministered to and benefited from his walk with God experience, especially in the last years, latter years, maybe 10, 15 years. And every year when I came up to camp, and I would just enjoy his ministry, even though many of the things that I had heard and again and again, and I was so familiar, but every time I heard him, it just ministers to my soul. It just brought Jesus, and I sense Jesus in his words, in his message, and even in his walk with his walk and his ministry. It was all Jesus. Every year I noticed that this man was different. He became richer, his ministry became richer year after year, even though the message remained the same, but the ministry somehow became enriched year after year. It just, you get fed, and many times, and I just felt that it was the Lord speaking to me. It was the Lord speaking, even though it was Brother Edmund ministering. And many times, and I got convicted, and I dealt with the Lord at the end of the each meeting, almost. And one of the things that helped me, or I perhaps I should say, one of the purposes of my coming, or our coming, for me personally, was just to make sure that I was on the right track, that I was not deviating from the center. For Christ is all and in all, and we see the plaque there hang on the wall. You know? And each year, I came for that purpose. And there were times, a few times, when at the end of the meeting, and then he would come and put his arms around me as we were saying goodbye, and he would simply say, do not deviate from the center. And looking back, I'm so grateful, you know, for a friend like that, for the reminders who reminded me to always to stay focused on Jesus. And after all, he's all and in all. Even though we preach on various subjects, but it's all about Jesus, and it's just Jesus. In my room, and there's this words hanging on the wall, there's just Jesus. I remember on the 20th anniversary of the work of the Lord in Taiwan, and Sister Pearl Young was asked to write an article, an anniversary article, and it was printed in Bread of Life. And the subject of it was simply just Jesus. She didn't talk a lot about, you know, the work and the people that God brought to the work there. And just Jesus. It's simply just Jesus. And as we grow, in our years, we become increasingly convinced that truly Christ is all and in all. Now this this sentence was used by the Apostle Paul, and it's found in Colossians 2 and 3. But in the Gospel of John and the Epistle of John, even though John didn't use these words, but you read through the Gospel of John and his epistles, and you cannot escape, you know, the impression that he's saying the same thing. Christ is all and in all. And he begins with the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and that there was life in him, and this life is the light of man. And he goes on to say he became flesh, and he goes on to say he's the living water, and he's the bread of life, and he's the one who feeds 5,000. He's the one who says, if you drink the water that I give it to you, you shall never thirst, and the water that I give to you shall become a spring, a fountain of living water, a spring as to everlasting life. And he goes on to present Jesus as everything that we need, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And it seems that the Apostle John, among the disciples, he's special in that he had this insight, this perception into the words that Jesus spoke. And he's the one who recorded these words. And when Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. Somehow John just was able to perceive and penetrate into the substance of the words, the content. He goes beyond the words that Jesus spoke. He saw something in there that others perhaps didn't see. And I believe that it is true with Mary, who chose to sit at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I believe that Mary too saw something in Jesus, what Jesus had to say, and that she chose to sit at Jesus' feet in spite of her sisters complaining to the Lord, and he just sat there at Jesus' feet. I believe that she was fed, her soul went, she just drank, and she realizes that what Jesus has to say are the words of eternal life. That's why the Lord said, and she has chosen the better part, the better part. All the words, the Word of God is... we all have read, you know, the Gospels so many times, and I've read it I don't know how many times. But lately, especially in recent years, it seems there is to be a greater appreciation of the Gospel of John, especially. You know, John is the one that we know that he is described as the apostle whom Jesus loves, and as that's mentioned 5 times in his own gospel, he didn't say, I am the apostle, but I believe the Holy Spirit made him to say that he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. There was something special in John. Certainly he had a close relationship, and he was apparently closer to the Lord than perhaps the other disciples, you know. So as we grow older and hopefully closer to Jesus, we have a greater appreciation of his words, the words of eternal life, and so that we can truly enjoy we can truly know Him as everything that we need. Indeed, He is everything that we need. We sing of Him because He's our song. He's our satisfaction. He's our joy. And we don't have, of course, adequate words to describe, we read the Gospel of John, and he presented Jesus in just various ways, this way and that way, and so that we may know that he's truly all and in all. Oh, the Son of God, the Word that became flesh and that dwells within us, and He still dwells within us today, of course, by His Holy Spirit and by His Word. So we can enjoy, we can just go on knowing Him. It's our privilege, and we have these examples before us, and we can go on just knowing him and seeking Him. And we can know Him truly better every day, every time. I'm so grateful tonight for all that He has done, not only for me and for my family, for these people whom the Lord brought here for the first time from different places in Southeast Asia. And I am just so blessed by the testimonies I heard, what God has done, you know, for them. And some of them start talking about coming back already next year. But it's been such a wonderful time in this place. It's because there have been men and women who have walked with Jesus, and they're still walking with Jesus today. And it's been a joy to work together a little bit with Brother Eddie. And, I've known him since he was a teenager, and I always think of him, you know, as my minister, the kind of my minister, when he was younger, and now he's growing older, and I thank the Lord for him and for his family, you know, for the continuation that we see of this wonderful life of walking with Jesus and living out his life. I just want to thank the Lord tonight in a very special way for what he has done. Praise the Lord.
Well, the water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth and ever failing, my Redeemer is to me. Share tonight. I'm nervous, and I know that I'm not going to get beyond nervous until I say what I got to say. I just want to share again. I'm thankful for prayer retreat. Almost as soon as I get the brochure about the retreat, I sign up, and I've been looking forward to the retreat coming and happening now. And I just rejoice. And I want to begin what I have to say with a testimony. For many, I think it's probably somewhere around 20 years or so that I've been coming to the prayer retreat. And I think synonymous almost with my return, I think Brother Edwin had taken charge on Labor Day for a number of years. There are other people that spoke. But when I would come to prayer retreat, I would always try to find a seat that would be inconspicuous. Back then, that room was open, and often I would sit back in that room or I'd find some other place. But whenever I would come, Brother Edwin would say to me, Brother Wade, we want you up here. It's the last place in the world I wanted to be. It was up here. And I remember times when I just, as I look around this front row here, I remember so many different people that were the speakers. They weren't the perhaps the invited ones, though they were, because just like Brother Eddie just said, he invited everyone. But sometimes I still remember Brother Bauer, and I just appreciated that man of God. And people got up here and just such wonderful things flowed from their hearts. And I always thought, I'm not worthy of that. And I've been pastoring a long time, but when I came here, I just felt like I'm not worthy. I don't belong up there. So I always sat somewhere else where I hoped I wouldn't be seen. I probably sat back there where Sister Letha is a time or two or somewhere else. But Brother Edwin put something in me, and that was to have a word, have something to say. And so I come every Labor Day in recent years and just say, Lord, what have you got to say to me and through me? And most usually the Lord would give me a word on the way here. Last year, he gave me a precious word, and he just spoke into my heart, and he said, I'm your source, and everything else is your resource. And that has sustained me through this year, because a lot of things have happened. And I didn't have a word until I got into the dining room tonight. And I actually said, Lord, I have nothing. I have nothing. And Brother Eddie stood up and he said, somebody requested a song. And we sang it again in the service tonight. And I was sitting there at the table with Ming and Yang and Daniel and TC and Echo. But when he said that and we started singing, there's something inside that jumped. That's it. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. Praise the Lord. And I just want to encourage you that if you don't look at the prayer retreat this way, come expecting that God's going to say something to you and believe that it's going to happen early on so that from that point you can build and build and build. You know what? A good orchestra, they start, with... It's good music, but can barely hear it. But it rises and rises and rises. And I tell you what, that by the time it's gotten to its zenith, you're about ready to fly. And I feel that way tonight because, again, Brother Luton was speaking about the same thing. He's building on what he has spoken into my heart. I went back to my room and I just jotted a few lines that I got in my Bible. But I'm not going to preach that. It's a testimony. But the thing that stood out to me is another song, Yesterday, Today, Forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Now, I found God to be my source this year. And he has opened up many resources. And I've needed it because my life has changed and changed and changed. We look at the world around us, it's changed. I am sure that I would probably say everybody's world has changed in the last 12 months. Something has happened. And for some, there's been more that's happened. But no matter what, the world will change. All may change, but Jesus never. Praise the Lord. And that's one thing that I really enjoy about coming to Labor Day Prayer Retreat is because Jesus is going to be lifted up. Amen. Hallelujah. And while I was sitting here towards the beginning of the service, just meditating on it, I thought, what a list of adjectives I could give you to express the change that's happened in my life. But again, no matter how that change is described for my life, Jesus is still the same. Hallelujah. Now we can rejoice in that. We can walk in the strength of that for our lives. When you go out of here Monday afternoon or Monday morning or whenever you're going to leave, you're likely to find something changed while you're gone. When you get back to where your life is, someone here may deal with something that's catastrophic. I hope not. But again, Jesus is the same. He was the same before we came. He's the same after. But thank God we're going to be built up. We're going to be encouraged and strengthened by what we hear through these next 3 days. So I have something to build on. Do you have something to build on? Has God spoken into your heart? Let him do that if you don't before the evening is over, because he wants you to walk out of here flying on Monday or whenever. Praise the Lord. And Brother Chow, I hope you don't mind. I looked up that Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and it's such a blessing, and I want to read it for you. It says, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged, that they may be joined together in love, and that they may have all the riches derived from being assured of understanding and fully knowing God's secret truth, which is," in my Bible says the Messiah, but it's Jesus. The Messiah, Jesus. And then I just love what it said in this verse 3. "It is in him, that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden." But he doesn't want it to be hidden very long. He wants you to discover it, find out all about it. Praise the Lord. And I trust that we're going to be greatly blessed in these next few days together.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Holy chains of Jesus have.
To thank the Lord also, give me this opportunity to come up. This may be the only second time after Brother Edwin went to be with the Lord. The second year I came only for one day. I was being called back because my mother fell. So I have had to go home. Since then I didn't have chance to come. But after I came here, I start to remember all those past years, how Brother Edwin ministered to us through those meetings. Cannot but remember, there's so many things. And one thing I remembered was one day, we drove up from Maryland to here. It took about 8-9 hours. So we made right on time to attend tonight's meeting. So I didn't change my clothes. So I was very casual. So, just like Wynn said, sitting in the back, Brother Edwin came over and said, come to the front, sit next to me. So, I just sit next to him, and after worship, then he started to teach. You know what he taught? He taught how to dress in the meetings. While he was preaching, he was teaching, my blood pressure was rising. So, but I have to tell myself, yeah, it's good. At least he can use me as an object. That's still helped the meeting too. And this morning when Brother Eddie talked about God's love, he was reading 1 John chapter 4. He talked about it. Brother Edwin couldn't preach the word that God is love. When Brother talked about that, the love of God still fills my heart. Many want to cry. Somehow, the same spirit moved Brother Edwin. Still, the same Spirit moves us today. The same love of God still in us. He's still showing to this world. And yesterday morning, we heard the testimonies of so many ministers here. Then I realized why God took a Brother Chow from our church and retired and left us. I couldn't get a good answer to myself until yesterday morning. When I heard those testimonies, then I said, oh, that's the reason. God took him from pastoring us to pastor this group of ministers. When we heard their testimony, these pastors, ministers, they were hurt, they were wounded, they are depressed, they just lost without a shepherd. Then I sense God's love there. God took a child and put him over there to start to shepherd those group. So that God's love is really so real. Maybe we don't understand at the time, but as time goes, God will show that His love never changes. He always stays with us. Yes, Jesus never changed. He's still the same today, yesterday, forever. The same Spirit who moved the people before us, He will move us the same day. He's still the same. So that's our faith. So happy. While I was flying down here this time, this is the first time I fly up here. And before I was young, I was healthy. So always I drove up. But this time, because of the weakness of the body, so I got a chance to take the airplane to over here. So while I was in the airplane, I was reminded by a testimony made by David Wilkerson. Wilkerson, the pastor in the Times Square, he started a teen challenge, right, all over the world. And his testimony was that one day, after the decades of ministry, he went back to his original starting point, the church. He stood there, and I forgot if people asked him or he made a prayer or whatever. But the word he said was, if I could start from the beginning, I would spend more time to be alone with Jesus. And that's what in his heart, even though at those many years ministry, so successful and such a blessing to so many people, but still there's longing in the minister's heart. He wanted to be alone with Jesus more. And that's what we are here for. We wanted to put the things aside and really just concentrate on himself, be alone with him, seeking him, stay in his presence, enjoy him, and loving him. And that's what we are here for. He will show himself to us and really draw our heart to him. Himself is all we want in this meeting. So God bless us. Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you.